Blog Talk Radio.
The man came.
Watching you as you dream.
Love me tender.
Tender.
Love me true.
Love me true.
Never let me go.
Let me go.
You have made my life complete. And I love you so.
So
love me tender, love me true. All my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you. And I
somebody better throw a pie after this. That to Stephen. You know, that's Willie Nelson.
Yes, yes, sir. That was Willie Nelson singing Love Me Tender. Willie Nelson is a country singer songwriter known for hit songs like Crazy and On the Road Again. Willie Nelson rose to prominence at the end of the 1960s and contributed to the outlaw country subgenre, which challenged the music industry conservatism of Nashville at the time. During his lengthy award-winning career, he has written some of the most popular and memorable country songs of all time, many of which have been covered by a wide range of artists over the last half century. He's now in his 80s, but he continues to record, tour, and devote time to charitable and political causes. Love Me Tender, of course, is a 1956 ballad recorded by none other than Elvis Presley, and published by Elvis Presley Music from the 20th Century Fox film of the same name, firm of the same name. Lyrics are credited to Vera Mattson, though the actual lyricist was her husband, Ken Darby, and Elvis Presley himself. The song was adapted from the melody of, for Aura Lee, a sentimental Civil War ballad, so its music is credited to English composer George R. Poulton. The RCA Victor recording of Elvis Presley was number one on both the Billboard and Cashbox charts in 1956. How was that?
All right. Well, welcome back,
just
my friends, to the show where I pretend to be... When am I going to finish that line? It's Friday the 10th of December, the year of our Lord, 2021. How's this year treating everybody? Gotta be better than the last one, right? Yeah. Well, you settled into the man cave. once a month, Stephen 76 and myself and Deborah Lee. She gets to hang out with the men in the man cave. She's an interior decorator. This is the 344th day of the year in the week 49 of 2021. We're almost through
almost
this
there.
Year. Almost there, huh?
Yeah. Hard to believe.
We're going to, besides the Porky's, we're going to be doing a skit. We're going to try a skit later. And everybody's got a part, so stick around. That'll be fun. Before we get going, this will be more. gotta ask. Deborah's teams, both her teams won this week, right, Deb? Yay! Eagles in Pittsburgh. No. Yes. No.
Nope.
Oh, they both won.
That was last week.
Nope.
That was last week when they both won.
And the Browns. They're looking a little tan.
They're definitely not doing as well as they should be, but they're sitting right there with the Steelers, actually.
Yeah. It's a tough division. What's the playoffs looking like? Is it Pittsburgh?
As far as Pittsburgh, last night, man, they might as well have napped for the first whole three quarters. They were floating with that 0-0-0-0, and then all of a sudden all hell broke loose, and they were within a shot, and then they weren't.
Yeah.
All their points were in the last quarter.
Wow. I love defensive games. I love defensive games.
You got to give it to the Vikings, though, because they were on fire.
Nobody called me and said, Hatter, football's on. I missed it.
Hatter should check his log, just saying.
I don't know. Just saying. Well, let's see. Okay, December 10th. Today was Nobel Prize Day. Human Rights Day, National Salesman Day, National Lager, as in beer, Day, and Dewey Decimal System. Who knows or remembers the Dewey Decimal System?
In the library?
Oh,
in the library. Yeah. I mean, that was quite the thing Dewey did with the decimals.
Yes, he did. Now we have the internet. We don't need Dewey anymore.
It's sad. Dewey was a good part of our... Yeah, the Dewey Decimal, there was two ways of looking it up, wasn't it? There's two different ways. You can go by number, you can go by title, author, or something. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, I really don't genre.
It was invented December 10th. 1851 by Melville Dewey. Wow. He was the librarian, invented the Dewey Decimal System in the library classification. That's called paper, when you're on paper. Dewey's paper. Classification of the DDC, or Dewey Decimal System, has been in use since 1876, the year when American librarian Melville Dewey developed and established it, divided into 10 main categories. The numerical system arranged mostly non-fictional publications. Since its inception, modern libraries maintain the system using modern technologies, a schedule of expansions and revisions helps keep the system current and progressive, too. I don't think they're using it anymore. I think they got rid of it. 135 countries used it. 30 different languages. Go Dewey.
You know, the last time we were in we used to go to the library all the time, but the last time I never checked to see if it's still there on the spines of the books.
There's a library that I've frequented here, and it's back shoved in the corner. Little cards. It's actually behind the counter. They don't want you messing with them anymore, I guess. Nobody would know how to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You just go nonfiction and fiction and title. But I remember they had a number too. Can't remember how that went.
I just remember in high school, like, doing term papers and being at that card catalog, flipping through them, trying to find the right book for your source. What a pain that was.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember being an assistant helper in the library just to get out of a class in 7th grade or 8th grade, something like that. And somebody dropped like 3 of those drawers, those long drawers. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was tight. It sucked. Because you had to be able to take those cards out and put them back. It's like filling up your grocery in the grocery store, filling up a cart and leaving it in the aisle. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Put it all away.
I remember ours, they had like a little, it was like a little rod that actually stuck. There was a knob on the front of the drawer, so you could actually pull the rod out if you wanted to take the card out and then replace the rod so all the cards stay. If you pull that rod out and dump the drawer, the librarian would be pissed.
Yeah. We had Mrs. Blevins. Mrs. Blevins was our librarian, other than Marion, the librarian, which is Shirley Jones. So Jeff,
you know, Hunter,
it
impresses me that you can remember your librarian's name, but you can't remember the semi-collab lines. Wow.
Well, I've got an answer for that. when I was 19 and I was in that accident, I had the head trauma, everything behind me it was clear as a bell. I remembered things that I don't know I knew, especially with music and certain people, celebrities and stuff that I don't have any idea why I know that, but it's like everything stopped.
Okay, you're forgiven.
January 21st, 1977, 7:21 in the morning, it's hard to explain. To this day, I can tell you the conversation I had in a locker room with some players or on a field with some players in a given game. I know, that's weird, but the next 5 to 7 years is pretty fuzzy. So I missed about a decade there healing. I even had an intervention. Check this out. I had an intervention by my family, and you'd think it'd be drugs, alcohol, something like that. No, it was memories. Some of the things you're coming up with never happened, dude. What? No, it never happened. So, I don't know where. I couldn't trust my memory for quite a while. I can now, I think, but nothing like an intervention by your family. You show up and everybody's there. They're all looking at you like, "Oh God, what I do? What I do?"
Yeah. Only been to one of those.
It was eating crow. I had to sit there and take it. I didn't know what to say. And they had a great time. but as far as everything behind my childhood, mainly school, because I was 19 when the accident, so it was anything at school really enhanced my memories. Apparently, what never happened. It was basically the things I remembered with the family, growing up with my brothers and stuff. So I don't know. I'm a case. Deborah, I heard we had some sad news today. We've lost some people who passed on.
We did.
Somebody like the liquid paper. Who's going to own liquid?
You know, to be honest, I didn't even know about anything to do with liquid paper.
Michael Nesmith's
two things that I knew about was that the young man known as the player, Demaryius Thomas, from the Denver Broncos, died last night or today, seizure, alone in his bathtub. Very sad. And I know also that Michael Nesmith from the Monkees died, so we only have one left that lives.
Mickey. Well, Michael Nesmith's mom invented liquid paper.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Okay.
But yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Well, you know what? That's my memory. Maybe you shouldn't trust it. No, that's a fact. Michael Nesmith's mom invented it. Came pretty rich off of it. That was the Nesmith family's pet rock.
You know, I think I remember actually hearing about that now that I'm thinking of it.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if they were well off before that. I don't think they were, but I think they were after.
That stuff was magic in the 80s.
Oh, my God, yeah. the old typewriters? Jesus. So, let's go ahead and get our predictions down, ladies and gentlemen. Who's going to the Super Bowl?
Not the Browns.
Not the Browns. That's a good bet.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, let's pull. Can we pull up the who's in for sure, and who's still mathematically capable of being a wild card? No, the Ravens are in. Pretty sure the Rams are going to go, the Cardinals. Phoenix, I think, are 14-2.
No, the Ravens. I hate the Ravens.
Yeah. It's not a Harbaugh thing, is it?
No, it's the next, and it's because they were the Cleveland Browns, and then they moved to Baltimore.
You know, I read up on that on the big thing between the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals, how that been treated.
So look on the chat wall.
Okay. Badoo. Wow.
I'd like to see Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Yeah, I like Buffalo. They're my second favorite team in the NFL.
Yeah. The Buccaneers, they're out, right? They can't go, I don't think. Are they mathematically still in it?
Let's see.
Did you look at the chat wall?
I'm coming.
Doesn't say anybody's clinched, but it says the Buccaneers are still in the hunt.
So AFC playoff, the Patriots, Ravens, Chiefs, and Texans are in. The Bills, Colts, and a number of other teams are holding their own destiny there. 6-2, 5-8. The Raiders are still mathematically in it, huh? Chargers look good. Well, I see. Now, NFC. The Niners? Is it? No way. I thought the... the Rams, yeah, okay. I must be looking at some other memory of mine. Look at the Niners, the Saints, the Cowboys, the Packers. In the wild card, look at Vikings and Seahawks. In the hunt, the Rams, the Bears, the Eagles, the Panthers. The Eagles could make it with a 5-4 record. Look at that.
They can handle any of those NFC except for the Cowboys. The Cowboys can just, you know, go away.
How about that boy?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, the Niners are a tougher team than they appear. Just saying. Then you got the damn Packers. Might as well just lay a $20 bet on them anyway. Cinderella. I'll pick the Rams. It's a Cinderella.
There you go.
NFC. Chargers. Chargers in the hunt. If they make it to a wild card, by chance, maybe, hopefully, they won't. But look at that. In the hunt, Broncos with a 3-6. That's the pisser about the wild card. If you've got a real weak division, you could get in with a losing record. I think Pittsburgh did 1 year. I was talking about the Browns Cincinnati with Coach Brown and Hollis. Was it Hollis? George Hollis? No. Anyway, they had the falling out, so they left the Browns. He went down the road and created his own rivalry.
Yeah.
The Bengals. He used the same colors and everything. To piss him off. So who's the Cinderella?
I think my prediction is Buffalo will rise to the top, and they'll face them against the Cowboys, and they'll have their revenge from the late 80s and early 90s and beat the crap out of them.
Leon, let it go. Leon, let it go. I remember that beat. Was it Brian? What's his name? BB. I love BB. Was it Bobby BB? No. What was his first name?
I'm sorry.
He was a little stud, man. Yeah, I'll agree with you. I do like the Bills. I've always liked Kansas City as my AFC. I was more of an NFC guy, but Kansas City is always my AFC team. But I'll tell you what, it's almost good to have Mahomes sort of sit back a little bit. He got tagged for the first time this year, I think. He got hit hard. I don't know what week that was, but they're still picking pieces of him up. $500 million is too much, even if it's incentives and too much money, man. What would you do with $500 million?
I'd buy a new car.
Fireplace and case bedroom too, I bet.
Yeah, a real one instead of the electric one.
I only say that because she said she'd never come out of the bedrooms at the Biltmore.
We finally find out for our home. We all take for a fireplace. Mm-hmm.
You could buy yourself a pro football team.
Not with that kind of money.
$500 million?
Yeah. What happens after you buy the team? How are you paying everybody?
No, that's what you get general managers.
Yeah, and what would you be like the Raiders and the Miami, where you pick up the stragglers that nobody else wants because you don't want to spend the money? Or
would
you
be
buy
like
a dynasty? Like what?
The Bankies. So you can pay for your World Series
yeah.
or pay for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Steinbrenner. Yeah. I don't know if – I think the salary cap helps that. But if you got players that just want to be a Yankee, well, I still don't figure out the salary cap and everything. If they could still spend twice as much, what does a salary cap – I mean, help you if you're with one of the other teams?
To me, it just seems if you want to get into baseball, it's unfair, I think, the salary cap, the way they were working it, where one team has this salary cap, the other team has a different one. It should be the same across the board if there's going to be a salary cap. That seems more like a fair thing.
Well, that's sort of implied, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's not like a market, but then apparently it is.
Yeah,
if you go through who spends the most money and who you get teams like, you know, of course, any of the teams from New York seems to spend a lot of money. Dallas Cowboys spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
When that lady owned the Rams, I can't remember her name, she sort of inherited it from her husband. I think it was the Rams. Yeah, it was the Rams. She would spend a lot of money. In fact, that was before the last cap, so I don't know. Yeah, it's like Mahone. If you said he's a half a
Georgia
billion dollars.
Georgia Frontier.
He's only going to get that. Yeah, that's it. He's only going to get that if he keeps producing. He's not going to get a half a billion if he loses. You know, so it's incentives and just get him to the dance every year. You can put two zeros on the edge of his paycheck every year.
Yeah,
a lot of money.
You know, I just looked it up. 2021 salary caps. I'm just comparing two here. The Yankees 2021 salary cap was $202 million. The Cleveland Indians salary cap for 2021 was $56 million.
Well, what good is the cap? It doesn't restrict anything that I see. And are we talking? Okay, the salary cap, you could only pay so much out in a year for your team. How do they get $150 million more because they're Yankees?
I don't know. That's why they buy the talent. They can buy that talent and win those World Series, and that's why I would never, ever be a Yankees fan, because they buy their championships.
Yeah. I agree. The biggest problem, too, think of even in my lifetime, guys like, even Tony Dorsett. Let's go. Any of the 81 49ers or any one of the early 80s football teams across the board and before 70s. What these guys are making now, to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
Is more than Montana made. So that would bother me the most. You know, I blew my knees out playing in the 70s, and, you know, I got to still work. Well, you know, car dealerships I have now.
And those guys back in the 70s and the 80s, they weren't afraid to take a hit. These guys all dance out of bounds now.
We got concessions, and we liked it that way. Yeah. Well, Now, there's nothing funny about confessions, but and it was good to address it. But it is unfair. There has been a number of plays. I've seen it in college, and there was a couple this last weekend where that tailback with a full head of steam can lower his head and use his helmet as a weapon to run over a smaller defensive back. But a defensive back lower his head to beat him and hit it, he gets flagged.
Yeah.
You can't. I understand taking the most dangerous things away from the defense for targeting to hit an undefensible man. I understand that. Being that I got 21 stitches in my chin one night retrieving a punt. My up man was supposed to go right, left, let it go, say something, Dan Mahoney. He doesn't say nothing. I get run over like a freight train. Catching the ball.
Whoa.
So I understand the indefensible man, the cut blocks, the block backs can be devastating. But that's why I got the damn uniforms on. Come on.
Yeah. That's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Punt return. I would love to
say I my first punt return in high school, I ran for a touchdown. So I was big. The next two, I got pretty much no gains at all, maybe a couple of yards. I had one other long one, and then I got my clock cleaned. And the coach didn't let me return any more kickoffs, no more punts. I'll tell you what, kickoffs one thing. But a punt is suicide. Can be suicidal, man.
Yeah.
You get somebody that hangs that ball up there. They are nothing like it going down. You can hear the footsteps. You can hear. Yeah, what happened was the coach says, "You pay attention to the ball. Mahoney will tell you where to go. Don't go looking down. I want you to pay attention to the ball. Make sure you catch it because you tend to look down, look up, look down, look up. See who that's got."
Yeah.
So I get used to just staring at the ball, and I just get run over. I'm hunting Dan Mahoney down. Where the hell are you, man? What the hell? You didn't say anything. He says, getting caught down so bad he couldn't say anything. The last time I returned the punt. That was okay.
I had my clock clean a few times, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I always remember I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I usually played wide receiver because I was fairly tall and lanky. But the one time the coach put me in at tailback, and I remember the quarterback handed me the ball, and this huge hole opened up in front of me, and it was like daylight. I was like, oh, my God. And I ran through it. And right as soon as I got to the other side of that line of scrimmage, the middle linebacker knocked me 10 yards to the side.
Wow.
He just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I was a defensive back wide receiver, more of a strong safety in defense, but I was always split in. And I always wanted to be involved with the during practice. I wanted to run with the tailbacks, the running backs, because they would hit and roll. They were able to stay on their feet. And I'd tell my coach, let me put some hand on the ball. Let me get used to making some moves. He goes, Hutch. He goes, you get the ball. I don't want anybody catching you. You just freaking run. So fairly fast, but I envied those guys. That's a different ball game. Those tailbacks and those fullbacks, where they can hit and roll.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. But I was golden. What I wanted to say is we had this powerhouse team. It was called Jesuit. Yeah, and I suppose you could tell what denomination that was. They were it was a Catholic boys' school. And they had a great draw of athletes. We're playing on a day game, a Saturday game, and I'm returning a punt, and I get down the fullback runs through without being touched by a linebacker. I'm flat-footed, and this guy runs over me. My helmet's ripped off, opens the cut I had on my chin. I go trotting off the field without my helmet on, and I look up, and this priest is looking at me, laughs, spins me around, and pushes me back on the field. I go, what the hell? What the hell was that? I didn't know where I was. They ran the next play without me. Coach is yelling at me. I didn't know what he was saying. But, having the cobwebs shaking out of my head, I look up at a priest of all, but being that I was a altar boy, spun me around, laughed at me, spun me around, and freaking threw me back out of the field. What the hell? Heaven don't want me no more.
We got a school like that out here too. There's a place called Lake Catholic, and it's a big draw for attendance.
Yeah, sort of the way they used to have them back in the day. That was almost unfair to have a wider scope of athletes, but that's what it was. And Jesuit was always a powerhouse back then. And the first time we beat him was at Saturday. Del Keppel was a basketball team, a basketball school, not a football until we got there. Good times. I would have traded it for the world. My sister always goes, anytime I have an ache or a pain or go through a surgery, she goes, and tell me that football was worth it now, because she wouldn't let her kid play. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, yeah, all the injuries you have, is it worth it now? And I go, hell yes. Well, hell yeah, it was.
Yeah.
God,
my knees are bad, my ankle's bad, my hip's bad, but I still would have played. And knowing that,
damn.
I'd still play.
Oh, damn straight, man. Those are my golden years. Yeah, it was all good. They just didn't last long enough.
No. And the team that I played on, my little harbor town that I went to, such a small school that we played Ironman football. So I was also a defensive back on the other side of the ball. We got our butts kicked a lot. We usually held our own through the first half, but we were so just tired in the second half, the other team would run all over us.
Yeah, I tell you what, defensive back, strong safety, that's the best positions on the field.
Those are fun.
Yeah, I made my honors with defensive back.
Especially when the wide receiver jumps up in the air to catch the ball. Yes, that's when it's a lot of fun.
I had the curse of being anytime I got put in the senior year. Anytime I got put in offense, it was third and long, so I get double teamed at the end of the season. I'd be triple teamed, which freed the flanker back up on the other side of the field, which happened to be the fastest white boy in the valley, Dave Burford. And I always give him shit. I go, the triple team with me, that's why you're one-on-one with the guy. You know. I could go one-on-one. But, it just didn't last long enough. I had a choice. I did not have a scholarship. That I screwed up. I didn't realize your citizenship, because I had enough credits to graduate after the first semester of senior year. So I didn't go to school. I didn't go. Well, that was the wrong thing to do, because I flunked citizenship, and that was a primary thing to be eligible. So I had to sit around for a year in play at a JC. And that was when I was a month away from going to, I had my choice. Could have walked on Michigan University and I'd have been sitting on the bench. I just because of my size, I just wasn't big enough. Mm-hmm. Or I could play. I did the choice of LSU, Michigan, BYU, Utah, and Boise State. And I think I was gonna try for BYU, but I was, like I said, I would have had to have walked on as a freshman and then prove that I could play, and then I would receive a partial ride scholarship was the offer to me. But I never showed up to any of them. In Michigan was one of the assistant coaches happened to be friends with our defensive back coach, Coach Supan, and they asked him why I didn't show. Where come your boy didn't show? And he told him that my hand was severed and I was in bad shape. And so they sent me a defensive captain's jersey, number 32. Still got it.
Oh, cool.
Captain. Sure. But like when we had Kim Justice on, who has the other radio station in brain surgery or brain injury radio. Your life changes in a flash. I woke up and my life was different. The whole world was different. No more football. But, and I'm paying for it today. Oh. Okay, well, we're going to try to do that skit before we do anything else. For those who don't know what Porky's was, it was a movie, 1981, about the passage of boys to being men. I would say, wouldn't you?
Coming to
the My Porky's was a little club called the Buckaroo, which I was so baby-faced, I didn't get in. Everybody else got in. I sat out in the car.
Oh.
It was a strip joint. I never went in. And I got a piece. I got a piece that I wrote that I'm going to read later. But the Porky's, the scene we're going to do, is probably one of the most hilarious scenes of all movies of all time. We're going to do our best. It's the boys find a way to watch the girls in the girls' shower. And I'm going to try to set this up. Why don't you set it up, Stephen? Give us a little bit.
How can I do this rated G? Well,
no, we are rated R
tonight.
Okay. Well, there is a hole in the wall of the girls' shower, and they're watching through that. And the one guy gets a bright idea of putting his tallywhacker through the hole so the girl can see it. And of course, it makes them scream and giggle and laugh. But then Miss Beulah Ballbreaker comes in. She's the girl's gym coach, and she sees it too, and after clearing the girls out, she goes after it. And of course, his friends are just wonderful people, telling him to leave it there because she's going for it.
It's good
for
it.
She grabs a hold of it and holds on tight.
Yeah. And this is the next scene of Miss Ballbreaker in the coach's office, trying to sell the dean and the coaches of how to find which guy it was, right?
Yeah.
Which kid?
Yep.
And Deborah's going to play Miss Ballbreaker. I am. We get it up here. Hold on. Okay. There we go. And it starts with Miss Ballbreaker. She's in the coach's office trying to sell the idea of how to identify the guy that stuck his tallywhacker in the hole in the girls' locker room. So,
oh,
are
lucky
you ready?
Me. I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It says, I know this is completely unorthodox, but it's the only way to catch this boy. Now that penis is more on that I recognize anywhere. This is a serious matter. That seducer has got to be stopped. He is truly dangerous. Everyone in this room knows that is, who that is. He is an uncontemptible pervert, and I got him now, and I don't want him to slip through my fingers. Just give me four other boys. The coaches can be present. We have got to put a stop to this. Pause. So what are you going to do about it? Sorry. You should have put that in parentheses. I wouldn't have read it.
You want five young boys in the nude for a lineup so you can identify his tallywhacker. Can we call it a tallywhacker? Penis is just so personal.
We can put a hood over their heads. Now we've got to do this. How distasteful this is. I know it's him. His tallywhacker, a mole. The mole is the key to all this.
Miss Bob Bricker, do you realize the severity of this? I would apprehend it myself, but could you imagine what the Board of Education would say to a lineup to identify a mole on his tallywhacker?
Mr. Carter, I think I have an answer to this. Let's call the police and have them send over a sketch artist, and Miss Ballbricker can give them a description. We can put wanted posters all over the school. Have you seen this prick? Report immediately to Beulah Ballbricker. Do not attempt to apprehend this prick, as he is armed and dangerous. It was last seen hanging out in the girls' locker room at Angel Beach High School.
You're all nuts.
Okay, we gave him
pun intended.
The whole time the posters are just busted up. Yeah, it's absolutely hilarious. This ball breaker.
The assistant men's coach, his face gets so beat red in that scene because he's trying not to leave. It's just like, and he did it before too in the Kim Cattrall locker supply room, whatever scene as well.
Yeah. I don't know who the third guy in there is, the big guy. He must be one of the other coaches. He doesn't say much, but he just sits there and laughs.
Yeah.
Let's play that scene.
Yeah.
See how we did.
Which one you want?
Miss Ballbricker, the coaches.
Principal's office.
That's it.
Mike Hunt.
Principal's office.
Frank.
No. Yeah. Coach's office. Principal office.
Okay.
Yep.
Now. Mr. Carter, I know this is completely unorthodox, but I think this is the only way to find that boy. Now, that penis had a mole on it. I'd recognize that penis anywhere. In spite of the juvenile snickers of some, this is a serious matter. Seducer and despoiler must be stopped. He's extremely dangerous. And, Mr. Carter, I'm certain that everyone in this room knows who that is. He's a contemptible little pervert who's...
Miss Ballbricker.
Well, I'm sorry. But I've got him now, and I'm not going to let him slip through my fingers. Now, all I ask is that you give me five boys for a few... minutes. The coaches can be present. Tommy Turner and any four boys you see fit to choose. And we can put a stop to this menace. And it is a menace. Well, what are you going to do about it? Five young boys in the nude, a police lineup, so that you can identify his tallywhacker. Please, can we call it a tallywhacker? Penis is so personal. Penis is so personal.
You can put hoods over their heads to avoid embarrassment. Now listen, we have got to do it as distasteful as it is. I know it's him. That tallywhacker had a mole on it. And that mole is the key to it.
Miss Fabrica, do you realize that this will be your request? Now, I would be very happy to apprehend the young man myself. But can you imagine what the Board of Education would say if you were granted a lineup in order to examine their private their private parts for an incriminating mole?
Mr. Carter, I think I have a way out of this. We call the police, and we have them send over one of their sketch artists. And Miss Ballbreaker can give a description. We can put up wanted posters all over school. Have you seen this prick? Report immediately to be with the Ballbreaker. Do not attempt to apprehend this prick, as it is armed and dangerous. It was last seen hanging out in the girls' locker room at Angel Beach High School.
Still funny. Nice job, Deborah.
Thanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm gonna have to watch it. What were some of the other? What was the soundtrack? What was the other songs besides Willie Nelson?
That's a good question.
Seems to me that there was Jackson Brown.
There weren't a whole lot. I was surprised. I guess it was a little early for good soundtracks or something. But I think there was more in Porky's Revenge. But let me see here. Mockingbird, Lovesick Blues, Till I Waltz Again with You, Only You by the Platters. Oh, I should have used that one. Where the hell did that come from? I love that song. That can't be right. So it's it. Maybelline. Porky's Revenge is Straggly, Loose Suede Shoes.
Yeah, Porky's too.
I only
downloaded it once. But all these songs didn't come up earlier. There was like three.
Well, there is a I don't know if we should play that quite yet. The drive-in with a page and a friend.
Yeah.
What Platter song did you say? That must have been.
Only you.
Yes, pretty good. That's pretty good. As Deb scurries off to find the music, I bet.
Find it. I'm
married.
Downloading it, Hatter.
You're so good. You're so good. So good. There are some funny ass scenes in that movie. One right after the other. Nothing beats the coaches. The one we just did, though, that is hilarious. And we did our best. I figured you'd give it a try. So I spent the last hour before the show trying to figure out what they were saying and get it to you guys. Yeah. Well, the reason I did that is because last time I had it on and played it on the air without any introduction, that it doesn't have half the. It's funny because you don't know what's going on, but once you explain it,
right.
it had a little more to it. Porky's classic.
Yeah, that assistant coach, the guy that gets beat red, he was the one that always got me. There's another scene when Kim Cattrall is howling, and he's down in the gym, and he actually hides behind the pads because he's laughing so hard.
She wasn't a moaner or a screamer. She was a hummer. There you go.
Why are you calling her Lassie?
Lassie, yeah. That's right. They have to turn the mic on.
Oh, man. I put the gif of that scene of the coach laughing behind the pads. That's at the top of my poem that I wrote for that scene.
Yeah, that other third guy, he is one of the coaches, isn't he? He's one of the I'll see. Okay. Ooh. I even wrote something. Come on, guys. About Porky's. Let me see what state it's in. What state is it? It's probably Nevada. Okay. No, that ain't it. I started. Deborah taught me how to use the where you write your poems on and use that to keep my notes. Now I can't find nothing.
It's not that hard to find your dress, Hatter. But anyway, Stephen, why don't you read the chat wall so we can play the song?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Hang on 1 second here. Let me go to history so nobody bumps it up just in case here. The Platters are an American vocal group formed in 1952. They are one of the most successful vocal groups of the early rock and roll era. Their distinctive sound bridges the pre-rock Tin Pan Alley tradition and the new burgeoning genre. The act has gone through multiple lineups over the years, earning it the branding tag Many Voices, One Name, with the most successful incarnation comprising of lead tenor Tony Williams, David Lynch, Paul Robbie, founder and naming member Herb Reed, and Zola Taylor. The group had 40 charting singles on the Billboard Hot 100 between 1955 and 1967, including 4 number one hits. The Platters continue to fulfill Reed's enduring legacy and perform around the world today. Only You and You Alone, often shortened to just Only You, is a pop song composed by Buck Ram. It was originally recorded by the Platters with lead vocals by Tony Williams in 1955. The Platters first recorded the song for Federal Records on May 20th, 1954, but the recording was not released. In 1955, after moving to Mercury Records, the band re-recorded the song on April 26th, and it scored a major hit when it was released in May. In November that year, Federal Records released the original recording as a single, B-side, You Made Me Cry, which sold poorly. Interesting.
Most B-side did, huh?
And on that amazing note, thank you, Stephen. Let's listen to the song.
The Platters. Only
they were on the Motown's 20th or the 50th anniversary of Motown. They had Four Tops, the Temptations, and I think they had the Cadillacs, the Platters, and the Platters, Cadillacs. What other? I can think of. But great version.
You know,
basically the battle between Temptations and the Four Tops. And my famous line is there was 19 Temptations, but only four tops. That's right, four tops.
Interesting.
His father had the Platters 8-track. I know all the songs from that specific 8-track by heart because he played it often.
Oh.
Yeah, the Platters also did what the Great Pretender. Great Pretender.
We have that in the studio too, and I didn't hear what Steven said.
Oh yes,
I said I had an 8-track of Tommy James and the Shondells that I listened to a lot. I used to love that one. I found something very interesting, Hatter, because you always say if you see it on the internet, it must be true. I just for some reason I thought I could hear Elvis singing Only You, and I wondered if he covered any Platter songs. And I found this article, and it says, intriguing evidence has come to light suggesting that Elvis Presley recorded with the legendary vocal group The Platters. At a recent shareholders meeting of Viacom Incorporated, it was stated that the company's extensive audio and video library contains 13 master recordings of Elvis Presley singing background with The Platters.
Oh, my word. I'd love to hear them.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I remember The Great Pretender and Smoke Gets in Your Eyes. It seems familiar.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
They My true love was true.
When I was a little kid, I ran across a DJ's 45. They were really thick, a DJ version. And it was Lou Christie singing Lightning Strikes. And I see here Platter's song list is number one, Lightning Strikes. What if it's the same song? Lou Christie was one that could hit four octaves. He could hit four or five different octaves.
Yeah. That's what he was like Frankie Vanilli.
Yeah. It does sound like Frankie Valli.
Mm-hmm.
The Lightning Strikes?
Yeah.
If you got it, you can clear.
Lightning Strikes again might be a different song we're thinking of.
Yeah, I think it's a different song because Christie's into this. So I wanted to get, I used to see that. It was my favorite song because it was the only record I had. Found it in some dumpster.
My dad's heart was broken when he couldn't get
A-Sox
players anymore.
Forget. But I'll be the sign when she gives my mind stop. I can't stop, stop, I can't stop.
When I first got a record player when I was 10 years old, and of course my first album, most people know, was Billy Joel, Glass Houses. I got it for the same birthday. But after I got that, my mother actually gave me her collection of her 45s, and my father gave me his. And some of the stuff in it was really, really cool, I remember. And it's the only time I'd ever heard it. And actually, one of the 45s was Dr. Hook, believe it or not.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember the A-side, but the B-side was a song called You Make My Pants Want to Get Up and Dance.
Sounds like Leo Sayer. Dr.
Hook.
Sharing the Night Together. That was the ace. Sharing the Night Together.
There you go. Sharing the Night Together. Mm.
Yep, that's all.
I wrote a little brevity of about Corky's.
All right.
I'll post it up real quick. It's a short verse. It's called The Passage. Every boy has his Corky's, a passage of sorts, I conclude. For me, it was a dive across the river, a place called the Buckaroo. Too baby-faced to be let in, I sat in the car alone till 10:30. They didn't look any different when they walked out of that place. I wondered if it was worth it to change my baby face. I never went into my Porky's, never regretted why. I never did change these Buckaroo eyes. That's the truth. I never did go to that place.
Pretty cool. I went into mine, and it wasn't all that.
Yeah. That's what I hear. Yeah, I'm the only one that went home with his $10 in his pocket, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is pretty cool. I like this because what you say is true. Every boy does have his Porky's, that place that you absolutely wanted to be in there because that's where it was at, and then when you find out later, it isn't where it was at all. Of course, when you grow up and realize things aren't seem to be when you were younger, but you know what? That's half the excitement about being young, isn't it? Just just that mystery of what's going on the other side of that door. This is a pretty cool piece, Ed.
I grew up in Fair Oaks Village in California, and across the river, we were up on the bluffs. Now we go across the river, the American River. It's like the other side of the wrong side of the train tracks. If you cross the river, you were in a place called Rancho Cordova. We called it Rancho Cambodia because it was a total different area. We were on the right side of the tracks, I guess. Well, not the right side, a different side of the tracks. The Rancho Cordova was known for its track runners, Gerald Wilhite, Rod Connors, guys like this were track stars that went to Oregon and San Francisco University back in the day when they had the strongest track clubs in the nation. That's where all the Dave Waddle and Steve St. Pierre, some of the greatest milers we ever had came from the West Coast out of those clubs. Back when coaches could have their athletes live with them, which is now called illegal recruiting. It went on back then. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, butts kicked much more over.
Deb, did you want to say anything about Hatter's Poem?
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think I like how it starts out with every boy has his Porky's. I never thought about it that way, his Porky's, but I thought that was pretty cool. A place called the Buckaroo, too baby-faced to be let in. I sat in the car alone until 10:30. That sentence made me think of your, I think that's a prom photo that you shared that's out there on the board. It made me think of Teen Hatter sitting there trying to get into the Buckaroo and no fake ID and too young to get through the door. And I was like, oh.
I had the curse of I was carded till I was almost 30.
Oh, wow.
You and me both. And you know what's funny? I was getting carded at 30, but I didn't get carded at 16. What?
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you were head cheerleader. You were head cheerleader. He was probably at the game where it was overexposed.
I'm fairly confident that it was a no. There was a place in Vineland where people would get served, and I went to school in Clayton, so I'm fairly sure that that's not the case. But Hatter, you have two more sound clips there. What did you want? Did you want to play another one?
Yeah. Yep.
Which one? You have, how about, what's the Mike Hunk track? I can't, Hunt, Mike,
yeah.
Yeah. Mike Hunk track.
Yeah, this is part of a scene in the Porky's where they're trying to get back at one of the girls who's very popular. She's a waitress at this burger dive where they're on roller skates, how they used to do it back in the day. So this guy calls in to do this prank on this girl.
Okay, here we go.
Stay in school.
I'm gonna get her. Great meat, it's great. I know I got it.
Wendy, hon, would you get that for me?
You got it.
Desi.
Hello. Hi. I'm looking for a friend of mine. He's supposed to be there.
What's his name?
His name's Michael Hunt. Mike, yes, Mike.
Mike Hunt? Okay, just hang on a minute. Mike Hunt!
don't know who it's on.
Has anybody seen my pen?
Actually, everybody in town, what I...
Hey, Frank, ask for the car hop with my cunt outside. It's my cunt in the parking lot. It's my cunt in the parking lot. Do you know my... Oh, God. Hey, wait, I'm going to get you.
But... Stay in school. Stay in school. It's all
the
about...
The guy who played Pee-wee was in Ghostbusters 2.
Say that again? Cool.
I believe the guy who played Pee-wee was in Ghostbusters Part 2.
I don't think so.
He looks like him.
No, you'd have to look it up because I don't think
so. I think it was. I think it was him.
I don't think so.
I'm going to look him up.
All righty. He had been a lot older. I think.
Oh, yeah, the guy is older.
Not that much. Yeah, not that much older.
No, he didn't age a day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, back in the day, half past 10 was late. Just saying, everybody was.
Unfortunately, though, my tablet was dead. Well, it was very slow. I asked Santa Claus for a new tablet, but I'd rather have a new car.
A little bit of a different
tablet, did the tablets work good? Tablets were good for the radio?
It used to work really well, but it's, you know, the technology gets obsolete within like a month after buying it, so.
Well, they're obsolete when you take it out of the store.
Yeah.
My Kindle is okay in a pinch, but I could never do it on my cell phone, but it works pretty good with my Kindle. Just log the studio on. At least it's a bigger board and you can see the whole thing.
Yeah,
thank you.
It is haunting on the phone.
What?
It's haunting. Everything I do is on the phone. I mean, it, there's a lot you can't do. You just can't
do it. I couldn't. Like, people like Boo run her shows from her phone. I don't know how she does it. I could never.
Well, if you had a real smartphone, it'd probably be a lot easier.
None of them
are very smart.
So you got a tablet and a, what are the other, notebook? Is a notebook bigger than a tablet?
Like a netbook? They can be, but they can be the same size. Like, I call tablets iPads, even though they're not all iPads unless they're Apples, but I don't know. I think that the netbooks are a little bit bigger than the
tablet.
I keep wanting to say iPad, the tablet. And my thing is with the tablet, it's more like a giant cell phone, where a notebook is more like a little computer in the fact that it gives me a little keyboard. And the Kindle is also just like a tablet where there's not an individual keyboard. I have to use the screen. But like I said, in a pinch, I don't mind pulling it up for the studio, and then I can do that if I have to. But luckily, I haven't in a long time. My daughter gave me her hand-me-down laptop, and you can touch the screen and do stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Because I always got the big rocket launching type of laptops, you know, the biggest, baddest things. But I didn't use a tenth of what that thing could do. So I was trying to think of which one would be better, not invest so much money in a laptop, whether a notebook or a tablet would be better.
Well, my thing is, not just because of the money, Hatter, if you think about the fact that you've been doing it for, what, more than a year now on that little tiny phone, imagine how huge that tablet's going to feel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Today in history, the first Nobel Prizes were awarded in Stockholm, Sweden, in the fields of physics, chemistry, and damn if it didn't blink out when I said that. You know, these sites you go on, and then as you start reading, then something fades on. How do you like this channel? Not very much. Physics, chemistry, medicine, literature, and peace. On December 10th, 1901, the ceremony came on the fifth anniversary of the death of Alfred Nobel, the Swedish inventor of dynamite and other high explosives. In his will, Nobel directed that his bulk of his vast fortune be placed in a fund in which the interest would be annually distributed in the forms of prizes to those who, during the preceding year, shall have conferred the greatest benefit on mankind. Although Nobel offered no public reason for this creation of the prizes, it is widely believed that he did so out of moral regret over increasingly lethal uses of his inventions in war. There was a mistake in the obituaries, and I believe it in the New York Times, that they thought he had died when another sharing the same name had passed. They had written nothing but the him inventing dynamite and the use of it in war. And it bothered him so much to be able to see his obituary before he had died. It bothered him so much he spent the rest of his life trying to correct that. He didn't want to be known as the guy who blew up people. Being that dynamite was used immensely for roads, tunnels, just conquering Mother Nature to get one point to another. It was used greatly at that. That's what he wanted. He had no idea his obituary would say. The inventor of dynamite and nitroglycerin.
No. I just put two pictures on the board. One is of Peter McNichol, and the other is of Dan Monahan. Peter McNichol was in Ghostbusters 2. Dan Monahan was Pee-wee in Porky's. Look at them. They could be twin brothers.
Okay. They're not the same guy, though.
Nope, they're not.
Right.
But they could be brothers. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I'm zipping down the hall now.
Yeah.
Okay, there. That is. Oh, okay. Yeah, the second guy, he was on the. The show with they were in a magazine. Jesus! It was who married? I'm going to totally blank here. I see what you mean. How close they look.
Yeah, I know it's uncanny. That's why I thought for sure it was the same guy. You're looking for Dan Monahan? He was in a television series?
The second guy, yeah. He was in with Kim, Kim Cattrall. It was a girl's name. Jesus Christ. It was a show. It had Courtney Thorne-Smith.
Melrose Place?
No, it's a woman. It's a chick's name. It's her name. She's very skinny. She married David. She's married to David. Dave. Blank on his ass name too. I have no trouble recalling. Only on the radio. That is. Jesus. It was a hit show.
I'm looking him up right now.
And what's the guy's name?
Dan Monahan. I'm probably spelling it wrong on an IMDb.
And the guy that played his older brother, was it? He was a cop. Older brother was a cop. Busted Porky's. Heard it there.
Yeah. Come on.
That's gonna bother me now. Kim Cattrall, Courtney Thorne Smith.
Was it recent?
I can't remember. Was it what?
Porky's Revenge. Eight is Enough.
Maybe it wasn't him.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Okay, I know how to do this. I can
maybe
do this real quick.
Maybe it was McNichol.
Okay, come on. Let's say it right here. Courtney Thorne Smith's shows. She had... show more. Yeah, it was about a magazine or something. Oh, come on.
Was it the one with Brooke Shields?
With what?
Didn't Brooke Shields do
with Gil. He was Billy.
Let's see.
Came after Melrose, but as far as I was, Abby McBeal. Allie McBeal.
Oh, Allie McBeal. Yeah, that was... Yeah, but that wasn't him. I remember that show. I didn't really watch it, though.
That wasn't him.
It was the other guy, Peter McNichol, the other guy. He was an Alec McBeal.
Okay. Yeah, they do look alike.
They do look a lot alike.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I'm in love with Courtney Thorne Smith. She was it. Vonda Shepherd, that was the singer. And Portia de Rossi. It was a fashion show. Jane Krakowski. Calistra Flockhart. She's married to Harrison Ford, right? Oh, no. No, not Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep,
is
Harrison
it?
Ford. Han Solo.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Kitty Walker. This is okay.
I wrote a poem about Porky. I figured maybe I'd get it out of the way since we only got a half hour to go. And I did write to that scene that I told you about. I call this When Cattrall Howls, People Listen.
Okay.
And it goes like this. Beat red face pummeled into padded gymnasium walls, snickering through teeth in locker room halls, howling, echoing through rafter grids, gym shorts wrapped around ankled skids. Lassie came home that fine school day, when assistant coach did have his way, Paul Bricker screams for justice law, while Collie squeals through open maw. And
I forgot about the Lassie.
Lassie, yeah.
I forgot that was Kim Cattrall.
Yep.
Yeah, anytime they went out to Porky's, it was just like, in my mind, it was going across the river. We come out of the bluffs and down to the river where we shouldn't be. I was told, don't go the other side of the river. Just stay on this side.
Steven, I think he packed a ton into just eight lines. And you have me cracking up too, and I can't believe that you brought Lassie. Poor Lassie.
Well, she would start howling.
How many words is in this poem? Damn, Steven.
Yeah, I think it's my briefest 10.
250.
Yeah, I think there was more hilarious laughing in that movie more than any other. Every scene was
and most of it was that guy there. That guy just could not keep himself from laughing every time. He was just, and when he laughed, you had to laugh.
Yeah, yeah. In the coach's office, the old guy that's uncovering the mat right there, that picture.
Yep.
He did a real good job not laughing for a while.
Yeah.
But with Mr. Carter, Mr. Carter's the dean. I'm assuming he is the dean or the principal or whatever.
Right, yeah.
He was, Paul Bricker leaves the room. Hilarious. People with Kid Cattrall howls. People listen. Yeah, Lassie. That was a theme through there about Lassie, isn't it?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah, Lassie. Lassie howls. Well, you remember more than I do.
Well, I think you said you've seen it a few times. I think I've seen it I've probably seen it at least a dozen times. I just haven't watched it in a while. I'm going to have to look to see if one of them offends it.
I'm sure if they brought it back, then it would offend somebody.
Oh, yeah, they can't make this movie again. No, this is a...
Oh, hell no. This is offensive. It's an offensive.
No,
yeah,
no,
I'm sorry. There was a little bit of lag. I'm sorry. But I'm really wondering about the last clip that you sent, how the content, it's kind of politically incorrect. I don't know what the clip is.
Oh, is that the last one I put?
Yeah, let me see if I can go look at it somewhere else.
Well, I can give you the gist of it.
Well, no, it's not that.
It's a very visual.
You know the three letters that you label it? That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, I understand, but it is what it is. It's a scene where the local Porky's Club, the guys that hung out in Porky's, they were Klan members back in wherever Porky's was, down Louisiana or Alabama or wherever it was.
And, Florida.
Florida, okay. And the guys that declared war against Porky's and got these guys in their Klan suits to come end up in the school gymnasium and in their Klan outfits, sheets or whatever. And then they, after they get into the middle, they turn on the lights and the gymnasium is full of some brothers and sisters. So they're a little uncomfortable. Go ahead, take a look at that. Maybe I thought it was funny, but maybe you're right. got to be careful. You don't want to offend somebody.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm
we,
sorry.
You don't think it is? That's fine.
I'm just going to send it to Stephen real quick, too, so he can look and see what I'm talking about. But I think that maybe, yeah, I'm putting it in his inbox right now. But I think it might be a little bit much.
Too much?
But,
okay.
Yeah, but well, give him a chance to look and talk about something. Like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Did you make that announcement?
Oh, we have a team of voices have included a 59th country that listens to us, and that's Croatia. Croatia, where some of the best MMA fighters come from, part of the old Russia, Croatia. Yeah, you know, we were talking about it on earlier shows a couple of times, is the way the political incorrectness or people offending people, the directors like Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, comedians like Andrew Dice Clay, even Bill Burr, how classy he is at tiptoeing around some extremely sensitive areas are gone. They will never be around again, and that's a sad note. You don't have to laugh like everybody else does. If you're so thin-skinned, you can't find humor in anything. I don't think we are the ones that have the problem. It's all about intent. Yeah, because I could actually say something in a conversation on the air, and it could come out wrong, and it sounds terrible. But I did not mean or intend to be a racist or a sexist remark. So should I be labeled a sexist or a racist because I misspoke once? It doesn't have anything to do with what your past or what you come from. If somebody, as Bill Burr would say, with Cheeto crumbs in their cleavage, they're laying out of bed, tapping away. You offended one person. There've been just a bunch of haters. I think we need to reestablish what intent is. You need to intend to hurt somebody, to be called a derogatory term. A hateful term, and it just amazes me how everybody, the corporations and politicians, have bowed to this. We got to get it. You got to get it right. It's just stupid. It's just absolutely stupid. You know, hating men for being the source of wealth.
Make me sorry I brought it up.
Well, no, you said to keep talking because that was the wrong subject. I just said it was like in the Blues Brothers. In the Blues Brothers, there's a scene where Aykroyd and Belushi are sitting in their cop car, and on across this bridge, there's these Ku Klux Klan members having this rally, and they said that I hate Ohio Nazis, and what they were Klan members and Nazis and stuff, They try running them off the road. They all dive into the river off the bridge because they were making a statement on this stupid-ass bridge. Now, is that offensive? I mean,
to Hail Mary, full of grace. That's offensive to some people. That's why we try to avoid it. And
well, you could have it. You could have a show on the Sears vacuum cleaner, and somebody's going to be offended.
Okay, I don't disagree with you, but just saying, we were in the middle of a beautiful announcement of country number 59.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Croatia, our 59th country to join our family of listeners to our international airways. 59. Steven, could you name 59 countries? Ready, go.
America.
I don't think I could. What's that?
Who did you ask? Did you just ask Steven to name 59 countries?
I said I don't think I could name 59 countries. Could you name 59? Ready, go.
Just because I'm looking at our list. Algeria, Australia, Austria, Bangladesh, Belgium.
Well, don't
Bhutan,
read it.
Brazil.
How many countries
Bulgaria,
are there? How many countries are there?
Canada, Czech Republic, Denmark, Ecuador. I mean, Ecuador, Egypt, Estonia, France, Germany, Ghana, Greece, India, Indonesia, Iran, Ireland, Israel, Italy, Ivory Coast, Japan, Jordan, Kenya, Kuwait, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Namibia, Netherlands, New Zealand, Nigeria, Oman, Pakistan, Philippines, Portugal, Romania, Rwanda, South Africa, Spain, Sri Lanka, Sweden, Switzerland, Taiwan, Turkey, the United Arab Emirates, the United Kingdom, the United Republic of Tanzania, the United States of America, Vietnam, Zimbabwe, and then today at Croatia. 59.
Excellent. That's a lot.
Yeah,
international. And we don't mean to offend anybody. I don't. I don't mean to offend anybody.
I don't know. I could get up on the soapbox about political correctness anytime and just go to town on it because I think it's like the worst movement in the world. But
It is.
It's called the cancel culture. That's not right.
A lot of people are quote-unquote
canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know who Gabrielle, what's her last name? She's a speaker. She came from Iran. Iran or Iraq. And her family was basically escaped because they were Christians. They escaped with their lives. And she tells her story of what it was like growing up through her teens in that region of the world. And she is a speaker. She's a well-known speaker. Gabrielle, almost had it. She's well versed in theology of the different governments and how a religion can be hijacked in different ways and the effects it can happen on other countries. If you put Gabrielle on the YouTube, I bet she comes up. She's a good-looking lady. But listen to her speeches. She was part of the nine. She was voted to be part of the nine of the Benghazi investigation team of how it happened. She says the political correctness needs to be thrown out into the garbage where it belongs. Because it's a way of tearing us down from inside, as far as a country. But I don't know how I got there.
Political correctness.
All political correctness. Yeah, throw it out the damn window with the trash, like the rest of it. That's where it belongs. And that's how she says it. She's passionate about it, and she tells you why. And I would like to hear somebody convince me what good is it, what good versus the negative it can have, effect it can have. I think it all goes back to intent.
Before the Guardians. Imagine how I feel about it now.
What's that? Here's it.
I said I hated it before the Guardians. Imagine how I feel about it now.
Yeah. The I guess the comedians are having a rough time because they always walk that fine line of offending somebody. That's where a lot of humor is made. That's why it's to alleviate some of the stress that certain subjects can cause. Don't be so thin-skinned that, Jesus. I like it when Megyn Kelly one time, she had her own political news show. She would have these people that were offended on statues or offended by the Southern flag, or not Southern flag, but the Confederate flag. And like this, she said, these people were offended. She goes, okay, she picked this one lady, and she said, tell me how you're offended. And she said, I'm offended. She goes, okay, well, what meds does your doctor have on you? How many doctors are you seeing? Are you losing weight from not eating? Are you not sleeping? Are you on more meds now than you were before? Do you, she said, well, no, I'm none of that. She goes, then you're not offended. You're just bitching. You're bitching about that, that's all. You're not offended. Because the way offended is the way that the term is used now is that you've got a medical problem. You can't sleep. You're losing weight. None of that. So I'm glad I'm at the age I am now because it's not my world anymore. I'm just going to cruise out of the rest of my years. Somebody else like this one.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure that they had to re-tamp the ground over my father after they changed the name of the Indians because he rolled around for sure in there.
You know, I think the Washington Redskins, and yes, I think the Redskins, these names were given to these teams and taken by these teams out of respect. And I think it's disrespectful on how you think they were – they're treated, the Redskins. I think Washington's got it down because they haven't picked a name yet, right?
No, they're still holding on to it.
They're called the Redskins. It's the Washington, the football team of Washington. They won't say Redskins. They might type it, but I have not heard that term. And I hope that they're supposed to do it. They all should pick. I think they should take like Santa Cruz University, the college on the West Coast of Santa Cruz. They picked their own mascot. They picked the banana slug because they got their sports. Santa Cruz is not a sports college. I hope Washington picks something ridiculous. Just out of, I mean, do you know how much money is involved in trading and in changing a team name or a logo or millions of dollars?
Oh, yeah.
To do that. So you could always do what remember the California Angels? Somebody got offended in Anaheim because now they're called the California Angels out of Anaheim. And you got to say all of that.
That's just crazy.
Isn't it? And people bow down to these people. Who are these people that are so offended that they have power? I don't get it.
Four!
That's right. Work on through. On through.
Play through.
So we voted the other one not right for airtime. I can dig out.
Does that mean somebody's on the line?
Is what?
Is there somebody? Did somebody call in? Is that what we were trying to be told? Because I see Wayne was on the board.
No.
I don't know if he called in.
So,
trying to get us into political correctness track. We're overstaying the welcome on that.
Yeah, throw some glasses.
Good.
A whole damn box. That's good. Is that better?
Yes, now you get the clean up.
Do you know in Japan they actually have rooms where you can pay to take a box of China and go to it?
Oh, that'd be fun.
I think it's a Japan. Yeah, Japan and China. Yeah. Gone fishing. Oh yeah, another one. I've got to give a shout out to Ray Stevens was one. Who's the guy that did the short people?
Ooh, yes, they saw him in the streak. Look at that.
Andy Newman.
Short people. Yeah, guys like that. They're gone. They're going to be seen over that humor is gone. And the sad thing is the Jewish, like Mel Brooks, how offensive is all his movies? They're not. They're hilarious. But somebody's, you know, calling the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, there's bullying in that movie. I can't see that. And Charlie Brown's a racist.
Show what you really got. Fact about that music, I don't know, I've probably said it before, but I will say this, that when John Williams brought that to Steven Spielberg, and he played it for Spielberg, Spielberg's response was, play what you really got.
No!
I'm still playing because I was just about to drop a Jaws gif.
Damn. How long was I gone?
2 hours. Hi, Hatter. Are you back?
Yeah, how long was I gone this time?
Long. Really long.
Some people say that we are on the verge. We're on the verge of exposing or being told that we are not alone. We have made contact. Yeah, I know it's funny. Okay. Is that Kay? You know all those noises in the horror movies? Oh. thought that would get me every time. Ghosts. Is that Frank?
I know. I was just going to. It's actually a clip in the studio, but I was just going to say, damn, it sounded a lot like Frank, didn't it?
It did.
It did.
And it's called Demon Ghost, so that's funny. It's all the buttons that we have under Halloween. But anyway, Hatter, excuse me, there's 3 minutes left, and I was wondering if Stephen might know what he wants to do next month.
Yeah. Any ideas?
Yeah, I don't.
That's fun. That's fun. Give us something.
I've done a couple different things, and I'm not sure. I wanted to try to keep it on a funny track, but I don't know. I wanted to do something humorous. Still.
Do you have any ideas?
I don't know. My head gets full of lots of ideas all the time.
You don't have anything to...
Mm-hmm. No, I was thinking, I don't know, if you wanted to do... This thing is not cooperating with me at all. Like the horror parodies that they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Scary Movie.
Yeah. So that's what it. Some of it's hard to on the radio because a lot of it's visual, but any of those. Remember, like the shadow. Shadow knows. Or
there you go. I'll put a goof on the board. There you go.
Yeah. What about your? Anything next week coming up for Poetic Slice of Life?
Oh, yeah. What do we got going on over at Poetic Slice of Life? Well, tomorrow is Sky's show at 8 p.m. And to sing from Rocky Horror Picture Show, it is the late night triple feature picture show from the North Pole because she is featuring Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3. From Tim Allen. Those are the prompts. You can write to characters, to the movies, to scenes, to quotes, however you want to go. And then Monday is the mortuary, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and it is my annual dark Christmas show. I have some interesting prompts that I found about the originations of Christmas and its dark roots, including paganism, and even the one that I like to point out is the Christmas riots, because in America, we didn't truly embrace Christmas until the 19th century, and it didn't have the smoothest start, as it had become a time for the poor and unemployed to riot in huge gangs demanding food and drink from the upper class. That's how Christmas started in America.
Wow. Well, I mean, we're down to the last minute of being on the air. I want to thank everybody for listening that out there stumbling onto our man cave. Stephen, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. These shows are getting better and better. Deborah Lee can't do anything without you. Thank you.
Sure you can.
And we got Wayne was showed up out there. I hope Sweet Pea and Becky and Sky and Pretty Bird. And Hope.
How about Kay? Because she's been in the room with us all night. How did he put a name the whole poetry site? Mrs. Andor Kay is here. You know, Stephen's better.
Yeah,
half.
I heard her whispering to Stephen.
A few times, telling me I was wrong.
Hey, Kay.
Yeah?
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh, is that Ghoulies that you dropped, Deb? Is that Ghoulies?
I'm not sure. I was going to ask you if you knew what it was from.
I think that's Ghoulies. What a cheesy, great horror flick that was.
I don't know. I don't think I ever saw it, Ghoulies. I think I did.
Check this one out.
The last house on the left, or house on top of Haunted Hill. With Roddy
McDowell.
Oh, that's
creepy.
And tomorrow we have Holiday Saturday with A.P. Taylor from Down Under and Deborah Lee. We have two, and Sweet Pea will be there. Will be two blind collabs plus our prompt for the week was
Trees.
Would you rather have a tree? Yeah.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? You're going Barbara Walters on that.
Since we are R, I'll tell you a joke. Since we are R, two trees grow up side by side through the years. And one's a beech tree, one's a birch tree. And one day, a little sapling starts growing right in between them. The beech tree says, "That's a son of a beech if I've ever seen one." Birch tree says, "No, that's a son of a birch." They argue back and forth for a long time as this little sapling grows and grows. Finally, a woodpecker landed on the beech tree. And the beech tree says, "Woodpecker, would you go down there and peck on that little tree down there and tell birch tree that's a son of a beech?" The birch tree says, "No, woodpecker, that's a son of a birch." So the woodpecker agrees. He goes down there, pecks on the little tree, and pecks on it again. And goes, beech tree says, "That's a beech tree, right? That's a son of a beech." The birch tree says, "No, that's a son of a birch." The woodpecker looks up and he says, "Well, I don't know about a birch tree or a beech tree." He says, "But that's the best piece of ash I put my pecker in a long time." It was a ash tree. And what's the difference between the Arab Emirates and the Abu Dhabi?
Oh God!
Remember?
Oh, I remember this one. I can't remember how it goes.
At the Arab Emirates, they don't like the Flintstones, but the Abu Dhabi do.
Yes.
Okay.
The second one was Ghoulies. The first one would have been Critters.
Critters. Yeah, it was like what was the one with the fur balls? Fur ball was the, there was Gremlins and there was the little
Gremlins.
Little things that, the ones that you don't give them water after midnight.
That's them.
They told the, that was what?
That is the Gremlins.
Yeah, that's the Gremlins.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
no, I'm
all
crazy. What the hell was the first one? I love low-budget horror movies, and I can't think of what that first one is. I know the kids in that GIF think that it's part of the funhouse, this thing puking on them, but it wasn't part of it.
Oh, I didn't realize that they sprayed water and every effect through the movie. You get crap thrown on you. What is that as they go through?
In what?
In Rocky Horror Show, when
yes,
you can get sprayed with water. You can have whatever.
Oh, yeah. They've changed some things to make it a little more easier to clean up, but, yeah, used to do, like, throwing rice and squirting each other with water. You had to go in with, like, usually garbage bags to hold over yourself if you wanted to try to stay dry. You don't have to try to dress up. You know, Kay and I were talking about dressing up.
They still do that? They still do that?
They still do. They haven't really done it much since this damn COVID, but, yeah, they were doing it up until then.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't have any idea. Was that the guy that played the lead? Is that the same guy that did Clue, the butler, the Clue, Tim Curry?
Yep, that's Tim Curry.
That is Tim Curry, yeah.
Yeah. He did a great job, too. And then, of course, Susan Sarandon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hubba Hubba.
Mm.
I'm trying to... Oh, wait a minute. Let me click on it again. It says 80 movies. Of course, it's not... not saying the movie. Damn. Critters 2.
Critters 2. There are so many that had tiny things that would like to chew you up.
The parodies. I like that. What was it? The not screen, but the horror show. What is it?
No, they did the scary movie series were all parodies on.
I think Chris Elliott is hilarious in just about everything he does.
Oh God, yeah. Him in that scary movie with his little tiny hand mixing the potatoes up, and nobody wanted to eat them.
Yeah. Evil Willie was in the wheelchair. Did the duel of the wheelchairs?
Yeah. And that guy's falling off that cliff, and Elliot's trying to help him. Give me your other hand. No, this is my strong hand.
who's that little brunette, the short-haired brunette, the scary movie? She's one of the main leads. Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah, what is her name? The girl that plays in scary movies.
Yeah, she did an outstanding job.
I know. We
used to have out here the Sunrise Drive-In. It was this old drive-in out in the pastures. It's all houses now, but back in then it was just a drive-in theater out in the sticks. And they'd go dusk to dawn, these movies, dusk to dawn. And we'd take, you know, ice chest full of beer and a bunch of guys in the trunk. Let about inside. It was a bucket carload type of thing. And we'd have like the babysitter movies. You know, Weekend with the Babysitter, Babysitter's Revenge, the Babysitter. They were all scary, you know, low budget B movies. We also had The Prison, Women in Chains. Just terrible movies, but they were great to sit there and watch it all.
Yeah.
All my life. But,
I better get ready to head off because I gotta get up in the morning for work, unfortunately.
The show ended a long time ago, Hatter. The show ended without us.
Yeah, like everything else.
Yeah.
No,
Christmas is coming. Christmas is right around. So we're going to have to do a parody, a Christmas song parody. Gress always had one. Yeah. I'm walking in women's underwear. I have a long way to listen. Well,
okay,
Merry
on
Christmas.
That note, it's been a fun show. Very interesting variety of topics. Stephen and Kay, you rock. See you about the shows tomorrow. Heather, let's blow this pop stand.
Yep. Don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Since Stephen already read some information about the platters, we'll go out with the other one that's in the studio. Love and respect.
Oh, yeah, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that you're still around.